The Healthy Alabama podcast is sponsored by Enroll Alabama, a program that enrolls Alabamians in the health insurance marketplace. Navigators provide free local in-person support to all applicants. Enroll Alabama, 256-432-7494, 256-432-7494.
Welcome to another episode of the Healthy Alabama podcast, sponsored by Enroll Alabama, partnering with WJOU in Huntsville, Alabama. Without further ado, I am now going to introduce to you someone who will be sitting in occasionally as part of the podcast, who is a very health-conscious person and who is really now, in many ways, the voice of WJOU in Huntsville, Melissa Summers. Melissa, how are you?
Yeah, I'm wonderful. I notice you stress occasionally. Okay.
No. Well, that's because we can't afford your fee.
Whatever. I'm a missionary.
Yeah, that's what they say. But no, seriously, we are really glad to have Melissa with us.
Oh, no, this is exciting for me because, you know, health is one of the things that is a zealous passion for me.
Yeah.
Because without health, you have nothing.
Right. And I picked up on that. You of course, are new to the Huntsville market and to WJOU. You've only been here, what,
it's been 8 months. Okay, it'll be a year January.
Okay, so you came in January 2017.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, came in January 2017. And so at the time that we're recording this podcast episode, that'll be 8 months. And so you're new to this market. Tell people a little bit about who you are. And, of course, there are a lot of people, hopefully, who will hear this podcast who won't know anything about you at all because they don't hear WJOU. So tell them about who you are and what your background is.
Well, my background is broadcasting, especially radio and television. I don't want to age myself or date myself, but I've been doing it for over 25 years, and Atlanta was one of the major markets, and I've worked at, you know, actually almost all of the major stations there, including V103, 104, and my last station before I actually went into the mission field, I did the morning show in Atlanta, and it was a praise station.
Okay, now you say the mission field. What are you talking about?
I was a missionary. Well, I still am, because we're missionaries wherever we go, but I literally went overseas. I went to the country of Bolivia.
Okay.
South America.
So you went to South America as a Christian missionary.
Exactly.
Okay. All right. So what did that mean? What were you doing over there?
Well, actually, I was doing television. There was a ministry there that had a television network, and they gave them enough bandwidth to have a whole separate television channel. And that separate channel, they wanted to be English, so they needed a programmer to just program the station. It was the hardware was in Bolivia, but we literally broadcast all over the world, including Europe.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, that was quite an experience, I bet. How long were you there?
It was amazing. I was there for 6 months, long enough to, you know, get it started, get the programming, and it was 24-hour programming. Mm-hmm. And
So what was your specific role there?
I, by God's grace, did everything. I mean, I was finding the programs. I created the actual programming scheme for it. So everything that had to do with what was on the air. I had to, from Bolivia, it was so hard because, one, it's a Spanish-speaking country, and I'm trying to get English programs, so I had to find a way to connect with folks in the States to get programs to go on the television network.
Wow.
Yeah.
You've had a very exciting life.
Right, so you didn't even know about that.
I had no clue about any of that. So from doing broadcasting in one of the top markets in the nation to being a missionary, a Christian missionary in Bolivia, you've been doing quite a bit.
Yeah, and I'm going to tell you what really, and, you know, the Lord bless, and I'll say the Lord, but I wasn't a Christian. I wasn't a bad person, but I was very successful. I mean, even doing middays in Atlanta, I was literally earning over $250,000. Mm-hmm. That was in fact, the year and the date that the Lord encouraged me to resign and lay all of it down. So going from that to zero, it was December, and that January, I would have gotten a $35,000 increase in addition to what I was earning.
So you were very successful.
It was very, and I wasn't even a morning person at the time.
Right. So a lot of people don't realize that radio at can be very lucrative if you're in major markets and you're in certain formats.
Absolutely, because I mean, not only are you on air, but you're doing, you know, national endorsements, you're doing personal appearances, and
very lucrative. So unlike podcasting, which is not that lucrative yet, well, at least not for most of us.
You know,
there are some who are doing actually quite well.
And actually,
in podcasting
and money has nothing to do with it, because when you're dealing with people,
you're talking about from a religious standpoint and your missionary work, but I'm just saying, as an industry issue, you know, you compare what people are doing in radio, you know, in the major markets, and what happens with podcasting right now, you know. So I don't want anybody sitting here thinking that you or I are getting that kind of compensation for this.
Look, y'all, I told you,
it's a
volunteer missionary.
All right, yeah, and I know the folks at Enroll Alabama would be, we're not paying that.
But that's how I actually got into health, you know, when I resigned and literally went from that, because, I mean, put it this way, the place that I was living in, 7,200 square foot country club community, and going from that to a salary of zero because I resigned. Mm-hmm. But the Lord was leading me along the way, and I started having this curiosity about health.
Mm-hmm.
So literally, and I didn't tell you this either, I actually went to a school where I stayed there on campus for 4 months to learn about natural health.
Okay.
So literally, I am a health educator, lifestyle consultant.
Oh,
so that's,
didn't know that either.
Yeah, that's why I talk about it so much on air.
Yeah, and I knew, just being here in the Huntsville market and listening to you, I knew that health was a big deal for you. I did not realize that that was, you know, that was part of your portfolio. So that's great.
But David, I'm telling you, it's like, I mean, reality is, you know, you teach it, you know it, but I struggle so, I mean, and I think there's like an extra oomph with me, because it's like, Lord, I know this isn't right. I know I shouldn't be eating this, you know, I just fell into a bag of potato chips. Oops.
You fell into a bag of potato chips.
Yeah,
that's
just,
funny.
You know.
That's funny. So, all right. So let's talk about it from the standpoint. People that have listened to this podcast understand that this is a podcast that is what I would call vegan friendly.
Mm-hmm.
We don't promote veganism exclusively. We don't promote even vegetarianism exclusively. We promote health and wellness as a general concept. Now, I personally believe, and have made it clear on this podcast, that you know, I think being a vegan is the best thing for probably everybody, or at least most people. But I know everybody's not there. I don't have any problem with that. You know, we're not militants.
Right.
You know, we're not shoving that down anybody's throat. If you want to have your steak and your hamburger, do your thing. But we definitely promote veganism, and I know that that's something that you personally embrace. Talk about your journey from being a meat eater to being a vegan.
And that's interesting, because one of the first things is dealing with even the word vegan, because you know, vegan is actually, it's a religion. You know, those are the people, and nothing's wrong. I shouldn't say those people, but it's really a religion when you say vegan.
What do you mean when you say it's a religion?
Yeah.
You mean they're worshiping something?
Well, not necessarily, but they do consider it, because they're like, you know, a lot of times it's more because they don't want to harm animals.
Oh,
we don't,
so you're talking
do honey.
About, okay.
Right. So
you're,
usually,
you're talking about the lifestyle and the culture. I wouldn't call that a religion. But
actually, some of them do. I don't, but you research it.
Mm-hmm. What are they worship? I've never heard this before. What are they worshiping?
I have no idea. But
okay. Well, that's new to me. I've never heard that.
Yeah.
When I talk about veganism, I'm talking specifically about diet.
Right.
I'm not talking about, you know, any other extraneous stuff. Just diet.
And that's where I was going into, because, you know, I call it plant-based. So my plant-based, and again, and I say I struggle. I really, really do struggle. But when I started researching some of the harmful effects, and if you'll see, I mean, you've got so many people now, including your, you know, what is it, Oprah Winfrey, and what's the young lady, Ellen DeGeneres, and you've got Ellen DeGeneres and others that are going plant-based only, you know, strictly because as they research the harmful effects of the environment. And then you've got our animals that are eating some of these things. And, you know, like with cancers and so forth.
I think Beyonce, too.
It's like,
Beyonce,
her too.
Yeah, from what I read, at least, she said that she had become a vegan.
So it's becoming vitally important now that we really, you know, become more cognizant of the things that we put in our bodies because, you know, we're eating the animal. So we're getting plant-based third generation. You know, you've got the cow or the chicken. Hopefully they're eating grass, you know, arranged grass fed or whatever. And then we're eating them. But a lot of them are diseased. And if you research, they allow a certain amount of, let's say in the milk, let's go with dairy, certain amount of literally pus that's legal that they will allow before they show any kind of harm.
I've heard this more than once. And that is a fascinating and somewhat disturbing aspect of the whole industry that creates animal-based products. But I want to know about your journey. How did you move from being a meat eater to becoming a vegan?
Well, literally, you know, and it was a religious thing. And I say religious because the Lord started dealing with me on my diet. He was like, you know, Melissa, I want to use you and I want you to, you know, be there for people. But you have to be there in a holistic way, not just with music, not just with encouraging words, but with your very presence. And I know how I was feeling when I was just eating, you know, anything. I was even eating seafood. You know, you name it, I was eating it. So the more I started researching, and I told you I went to, you know, a lifestyle center for 4 months where I learned about health. So once I started learning, then I was like, you know, I've got to put some of this stuff down.
So were you having health problems? Was that what was going on? You weren't having any health problems?
No health problems.
You just felt a religious impulse to do what you did.
Well, actually, because even science, you know, I think I made a commitment once I started learning myself about the different, you know, health disparities in some of the foods I was eating. But before, you know, I started getting a conscious because I was looking at even science and the things they were talking about. For example, when they talk about the chicken. You know, we think that we're doing really good because, oh, you know, it's no fat, no skin on it, you know. But when you research or what I've researched about the very tissue of the chicken and the harmful effects that are in the skin of it, the cholesterol. If you research, chicken is actually higher in cholesterol than some of the other meats that, you know.
Than beef?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Than pork?
Cholesterol.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Than beef and pork?
Yes.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yes.
What about turkey? Is it higher in cholesterol than turkey?
Turkey has, and I can't think of the word. It's something. Whatever that is in the name of it, and some of our, you know, brilliant folks know the name, but I can't think of the name. But you know when you eat turkey and how you get sleepy?
Oh, you're talking about, it begins with a T.
Tryptophan? Is it?
Yeah, I think it's tryptophan. I think that's it. Right. Yeah, that sounds right anyway. Right. I haven't eaten meat in so many years. I'm lost contact with a lot of that, but I think it's tryptophan.
Right. So that, and then when you know, just kind of research about, again, you know, some of the hormones that they're giving them, the steroids and a lot. You look at our young people, how, I mean, even before 12 years old, you know, our young girls, how they're developing now with the breast and the bottoms and you know, and it's scary. And
so you
wonder.
So you're in the camp who believes that exposure to animal products that have been, I guess, injected with hormones, that's what you're alluding to when you're talking about the early development of young women.
Oh, absolutely.
You think it's connected to the fact that animals have been injected with growth hormones?
According to the research, absolutely. And then, I mean, look at the sizes of the animals alone. When you look at chicken and you look at the size of just a natural, you know, range roving chicken, you know, was raised on grass, not given anything. Look at his size versus Church's chicken size.
So all of this research and all of this exposure is what led you to decide to become a vegan.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Some people are going to say they don't care about any of what we've just talked about. And that's fine. You know,
right,
we respect people's right to have whatever point of view they want to have.
Absolutely.
But I do think that people should be informed. People should be informed and they should make informed decisions. I know a lot of people will also say, I'm going to die something. And I say to the person who says that, yeah, you're right. We all are going to die of something. But I would argue that you want to, I would advocate for a higher quality of life, which I think is probably what you're going to get.
Yes.
If you move, at least if you don't become, if you don't embrace a complete plant-based diet, if you at the very least incorporate more plants and fruits and nuts and grains into your diet. Well, not everybody can do grains, but fruits and nuts and vegetables into your diet, that it'll be, you'll have a healthier diet even if you decide to continue to eat meat in some form or fashion.
And you know what's encouraging? There's a book and it's called The Blue Zone. Reading that book, and it's encouraging to see.
What's it about?
You know, it's about different areas of the entire world where people eat plant-based and how they live and their quality of life, like you were saying, is just superior to your average. Dr. Colin Campbell. Dr. Colin
is
Campbell. He's one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And he, some incredible information, but the Blue Zone. And then the China study. The China study is another one.
Now what is
another
that?
Book. In fact, I think Dr. Colin Campbell is in that one, if I'm not mistaken. But it talks about the same thing and about the effects, and they do a worldwide research and study and present the results of eating a healthier diet and the quality of life.
Okay, so you're just saying again that science and research backs up, you know, your contention and mine for that matter, that that having a plant-based diet, or at least having a more plant-based diet, is better for you than a meat-based diet.
Oh, absolutely. And,
okay.
And you don't know it until you really can't, because it's like cooking cooking a frog. you put him in the water.
The old frog in the pot story.
Right, right. Yeah. You know, you put the frog in there. He's just like, oh, yeah, he's backsliding. It feels good, you know.
He's backsliding. Backstroking.
Right. So you slowly turn up the heat, and he's still, you know, backstroking and backsliding. And he doesn't even realize until he's dead that he was cooked. And I use that analogy because when I went through my diet change and I came off of meats and I was eating, you know, the plant-based, like the fruits, the vegetables, the nuts, whole grains, the difference that I felt. I mean, I'm already high energy. So you talk about bouncing off the wall.
You're not high energy. What? You're very laid back. I mean, I can barely get you to say a word. I don't know. What are you talking about, high energy?
But it was the difference. So silly. It was amazing, David. And it's like, you know, it's like, oh, taste and see. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, if you don't have to believe it, but just try it. Do like Daniel in the Bible. Give it 10 days. 10 days of nothing but fruits and vegetables, and see the difference, the clarity of thought in mind. It's how you feel.
Okay. Now, I know that, let's move away from diet for a minute. I know that for you, another important part of your lifestyle is the use of natural products for skin and hair. And I know you promote that very heavily on your radio show here at WJOU.
Morning Joy.
Yeah, that's right. Morning Joy on WJOU Monday through Friday, 6 to 9.
Right. Central Standard Time.
Central Standard Time. Okay.
And we do stream online, WJOU.org, and tune in.
Beautiful.
Okay.
Beautiful. Our partner, our broadcast partner for this podcast. So, you promote using natural products for hair and skin. Talk about that.
It's really interesting, David, because, you know, I have extremely sensitive skin, and even products, quote unquote, that say natural, my body will tell me if it's truly natural or if it has chemicals in it. I will break out. My hair will be on my neck, and if it's something in there that's not supposed to be, I'll instantly break out. So when I started basically a lot of times making a lot of my product, because I know what I put in it, I saw a world of difference.
So when you're making products for your hair and skin, what are the ingredients you're using?
Man, I keep it simple too, especially for the hair. Ladies, let me tell you, girl. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, real simple. Just order some online too. I use vegetable glycerin, mm-hmm. and which is a food-based grade, and I use aloe vera gel. Mm-hmm. Mix them together and add a little bit of oil, a little bit of water.
What
shake
kind
it,
of oil?
And that's it. Olive oil. You can use almond oil, just one that's in a liquid form. Don't use coconut because it'll solidify and you'll have a mess. You'll be trying to grease your scalp. It won't be pretty.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. So you take vegetable glycerin, you mm-hmm. take olive oil, you take aloe vera gel.
Gel. And see, let me tell you, and men too. I've had guys come up to me, you know, bald and gorgeous as ever, but bald. And they were like, you know, can I grow some hair? And I'm like, absolutely. Add some cayenne, shake it up, because cayenne pulls heat to the skin or to the surface. You put it to your scalp, then the heat is going to warm up. Blood comes to heat. So then you've got blood coming to your surface. And if you add a little massage to your scalp, then you're stimulating your follicles.
So you're saying, okay, you just dropped a bomb on
See?
Me.
Boop, there it is.
So you're saying that you believe that men can regrow, that bald men can grow hair.
Well, it depends, you know, because I just said the follicles, some of them, they do die, but absolutely, absolutely.
You've seen this.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah, because it's a combination of things. It's that, and it's also with the diet. Because a lot of times, you know how we're graying? Graying is a natural part of life. But some of us, you know, gray more quickly and much earlier than necessary because of the things that we eat.
Hmm. So getting back to the men, I want to make sure I'm clear on this. Because, mm-hmm. you know, there's some brothers who may want to try this. And we don't want them coming back looking like a Bozo the Clown with that Bozo the Clown hairstyle.
Oh,
so
no,
you're
no,
saying
no.
that this is, you think this is legitimate and this will work?
Oh, no, I know it is. And fellas, let me just say this, okay? I prefer you to try to get the cayenne oil, okay? I would get the cayenne oil. And when you're doing it, do not touch anything. Thing after you finish, but water. Wash your hands. Don't. Please don't go to the bathroom after you put that on there. Mm. You feeling me?
Yeah, I'm feeling
it. Because it's hot, and
yeah.
that won't be cute.
Yeah, that'll be heat in the wrong place.
Yeah, and at the wrong time, that won't be cute.
All right, so that's you know, if this works, you can tweet. You're on Twitter, right? Or you're on Facebook?
Yeah, I'm on
right?
Facebook, Twitter, okay. Instagram.
So you can Facebook, Twitter. Melissa,
Melissa is on air.
Melissa is on air.
Right. Facebook, that's all of it.
Melissa is on air for Facebook and Twitter.
And Instagram.
And Instagram. Mm-hmm. So if this works.
And YouTube.
On YouTube. you can tweet or Instagram or Facebook Melissa and say, hey, this worked. It's incredible. I've got hair again.
But,
if it doesn't work, you can fuss at her.
No, you be nice. But look for the ladies with you know, the hair tonic that I told you, or the hair remedy. My hair used, and I have to show you a picture when I get it, used to be really, really thin and, like, you know, short. And I mean, when I flat iron it, it's down my back.
Oh, now?
This?
Really?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
really?
Yeah. When I
turn around. Let me just see.
And see, mind you, this is okay. After being washed. There's no heat on my hair.
Okay.
So I wash it, put in my product, and this is it. When I flat iron it, it's probably like right, you know, a little below bra strap.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Your hair doesn't look that long.
I know. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you're saying that using these homemade natural hair products has helped your hair to become healthier and longer.
Because think about it. Now, mind you, my hair, in fact, I just washed it a couple of days ago. When I wash it, after I get out, I don't do anything. So, you know, I'm black. Okay, I guess you can guess that. But we have shrinkage.
Mm-hmm.
So imagine. So this is my hair after washing it, putting it in a ponytail, it's shrunk.
Mm-hmm.
And when we flat iron it out, and we do, then I say I recommend very little manipulation of the hair, because our hair is not, you know, it's not like Becky's where you just brush and
you
know, we gonna brush.
Becky's, you talking about our Caucasian sisters?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Okay.
That's
all
my
right.
affectionate word.
That's
for
your affectionate
yeah.
word for our Caucasian sisters, Becky. Okay. All right.
Yeah. So.
So it's well, this is fascinating. I mean, already you're bringing an interesting dimension to our whole podcast conversation. We're almost out of time. Any final words?
Just try it. I'm telling you, you will see. You know, try a healthier lifestyle. And let's encourage each other, because I'm telling you, I'm struggling. I teach it. I know it. And I'm just trying by God's grace to live it. And just want to encourage you to do the same. You'll love the difference.
All right. Melissa Summers. Melissa, thank you. And thank you to WJOU FM, 90.1 FM here in Huntsville, for being our new podcast partner. Thank you, Melissa, and thank you, WJOU.
And thank you for having me.
Oh, my pleasure. The Healthy Alabama Podcast is a partnership between WJOU and David Person Media, LLC. The theme music was produced by Dejon Bailey. I'm David Person, host and producer of the podcast. Until next time, be healthy.
The Healthy Alabama Podcast is sponsored by Enroll Alabama, a program that enrolls Alabamians in the health insurance marketplace. Navigators provide free local in-person support to all applicants. Enroll Alabama, 256-432-7494, 256-432-7494.